you're here. Fellowship's real, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It's Wednesday, September 13th, 2017. T-minus 4 hours till the big board meeting, Jason. Oh, I'm excited. There's a lot of things going on with this radio ministry.
Now, if it's
ministry.
At nighttime, it's 4 hours after.
Well, no, not, it'll be wait, 12, 7, 8 hours removed.
Well,
from the board meeting, when this re-airs in the evening, I'll have already attended.
What time is the board meeting?
11:30.
Oh, 11:30, yeah. Well, you might be at, depending on how long. You know, you never can discount the length of a meeting.
Yeah, there's a lot on the agenda.
You could be 4 hours removed.
Yes.
Both programs could be 4 hours each way.
Yeah, so anyways, for those of you tuned in for the morning edition, I'd ask that you be praying for God's leading and directing and a number of decisions to make, a number of things for me to share and raise and talk about. And so, I'm excited. We usually have pretty adventuresome board meetings, just get to talk about what God's doing through the ministry and the great support that we've had. And we're embarking potentially on some new directions, and so we'll see how God puts it all together.
Yeah.
And so that will happen at 11:30 to probably about 1 or 2 today, and we'll keep you posted as God continues to lead. But I know you've had various roles in helping guide some of my thinking or direction, and is it biblical? Is it all under the guidelines of educate, edify, evangelize? And appreciate your graphics work, even on the recent, the LST, the Lincoln Square Times that we do here at Lincoln Square, and getting some of the other leases, some of the other businesses here involved, and highlighting what they do and the services they provide. So it's been kind of neat to continue to interact with people here at Lincoln Square. And I know Bill over at International Galleries, he and I are probably twice a week. We take about a 15-minute break and play some competitive ping pong. And he did a frame. I don't know if I shared this with our Great News Radio listeners. We had the Great News Radio Theater Troupe and the extended cast, 50-plus cast members that are going to do It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been meeting on Mondays and Fridays for the last few weeks. Well, a month or two back, when we were doing auditions, we had them all here, and Giordano's provided pizza for 50 people along with salads and all the fixings and the silverware and the plates and all the incidentals, which kind of saves a lot of money when that's all provided. And so to thank Giordano's for providing that all free of charge, I had all the theater troupe, the cast members, sign our Great News Radio stationery, and I had already put out text, the pizza was great. We thank you for supplying it, for supplying the whole team that's going to put on it, the radio version of It's a Wonderful Life, and so forth. And so they all signed it, different, like red ink, green ink, blue ink. And I took it over to International Galleries, and I said, is there a way? I did a Jason thing. How can we make this look professional and wonderful and a nice gift? I said, is there a way you could mat this or frame it or something? And he said, sure, give it to me. Well, he did this like double matting with, what would you call it, bordering.
Yeah.
And then he put it in this really neat frame, and it looked great. And he said, my gift to the station.
Oh, wow.
And so anyways, I presented that to Peter. He's the head manager over at Giordano's about 10 days ago, and he loved it. And I haven't been over there to see if he has it hung, but he said he's going to hang it up. But it had like 40 or 50 names of the cast. And I don't know, it's just kind of neat how God, again, weaves relationships together.
Sure.
And that was shortly after the discipleship series you put on here. And God had put Bill on my heart as somebody to make inroads with, to share life with, to converse and talk and meet up with. And we've had a growing relationship, and he's a former racquetball player. But the ping pong thing has us both talking and meeting up, and I just feel like God has him in my life, and we'll continue to play some ping pong and meet up. And he's been talking about some of his children and the fact that he's been really warm to this radio ministry. And, I don't know, I'm sure that thing would have cost 50 or 60 bucks. It was a nice frame and the matting and all that, and did it and handed it over and said, no charge. I appreciate International Galleries and Bill over there. So
yeah, that's
anyway,
great.
A lot of things happening. Yeah, you started this past Monday, your first Bible study fellowship. So
yeah.
For a listener that maybe missed our last Wednesday's broadcast, where I think you and Tasha both highlighted, hey, you guys need to be in God's Word, and a great method or means or mechanism is Bible study fellowship. Mm-hmm. This past Monday it started, but could somebody still join in? How does that all work?
Yeah, so if you're a guy, you can definitely join in at any point. The women, I mean, that group is huge.
Yeah, 350
women. So their next welcome day, I believe, for the ladies is October 3rd. For the guys, you can come to any sessions Monday, 6:30, First Baptist Church of Savoy, over there on, I believe that's Burwash and Prospect.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you can come over at any point. Great groups, great guys. But, yeah, it was a good first night. I mean, anytime you can get in a room and you've got 100-something guys and you're studying the Word and you're praying and you're just being together in fellowship like that, it's just a positive atmosphere, in my opinion, you know, because everybody's kind of there under one banner. And so I just think it's a great time.
And the study for those men and women, it's the book of Romans, so they're just launching into it. But
yeah.
You said an interesting thing, and for you and I, we get this, we know it. That's why we love the Scriptures, because they're inerrant, they're God's inspired Word. It's our instruction manual. Mm-hmm. It's His love letter to us. It's to reveal truth, to guide our lives, to set out principles. And so I think that's what they initially... You know, didn't really get into Romans that first time. They kind of laid the groundwork why Romans is important, I'm sure, but why God's Word is important.
Yeah, well, the first time you come, there's not a lesson, there's not any of that. So it's really just getting yourself acclimatized to your group, introducing yourself to your group, getting a chance to get placed into groups. And then you come in and they do kind of like an introduction. And the introduction is really, I mean, you've got to understand it. For some folks who have followed Jesus for a long time, You know the Bible is inerrant. You know the Scriptures are inspired. You know all of this. But there may be some people in the room who this is their first go-around with the Bible. This is their first chance to really understand the Bible. Maybe they just got saved recently, and they just made this decision to come to Bible Study Fellowship so that they can begin to grow, like the Bible says, in grace and in knowledge. And so sometimes you got to say, you know what? Okay, this is not necessarily for me. But the Lord is doing this because there's somebody in this room who needs to hear this. And so, yeah, the first night was really just kind of an overview of the Bible, quick overview of Romans, but more just setting the standard that, look, this is God's Word. It is inspired. It is inerrant. It is God's instruction to us. It's been given to us for a reason. And so from that, now we understand why, A, we need to study it. Number two, why it's trustworthy as we study it. Number three, why as we come to it, we know that we can respond to it, that we can trust in it. And we know that because Romans itself tells us in chapter 15 that it was written in the former days for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So Romans itself tells us why the Bible was written, that it was written for our instruction and for our endurance, for our encouragement, that we might have hope, that the Bible is to be our source of hope. And this source of hope isn't kind of like the hope that we experience in the world, where sometimes it's fleeting and sometimes it's untrustworthy. But no, the Bible is inerrant. It's inspired. It's been given to us by God. It's infallible. I mean, it doesn't fail us, and therefore it presents us with a hope that it does not fail. And then the Bible itself lays out in Romans, it says, and hope does not disappoint because God has poured His love out. And so this hope that the Bible is to us does not disappoint us because it always leads us to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ does not disappoint. He is the demonstration of God's love. And so, yeah, that was like night one. You know, we're just kind of laying that out and just kind of getting everybody on the common ground, because there may be people in the room and there may be somebody listening right now who's like, you know what? I mean, I've heard about the Bible. I've even read it. I think I have one that I took out of a hotel once.
Good old Gideon's.
The Gideon's, yeah. But I'm not really sure if it's trustworthy. I'm not really sure what makes this book different than other books. And the difference is that this book presents in it a hope that does not disappoint. It presents Jesus Christ, you know, God's Son. And it tells us in the Old Testament all about how He's going to come, the one who is to come, this thing that is to come. When's it going to come? All the way since Genesis 3:15. And then Jesus comes and it tells us about that. And then afterwards it tells us why He came. What is He was going to do? And then at the last chapter, it tells us He will come again. And when He comes again, It'll be amazing.
Yeah, I think last Wednesday we really hammered this truth home, but I was thinking that Navigator verse, well, it's the verse in the Bible, but many navigators memorize it, and it came to my mind that 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, and then verse 17, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work, the work that God has laid out for all of us. But that primary principle that all Scripture, not some of it, not a portion of it, not the verses you want to pick and choose, all Scripture is God-breathed. And, yeah, you could almost do a message on that right here, that God has breathed it. Yes, used human authors, used their personalities or their memories or their styles of writing, but has orchestrated through them what was necessary to write down or recount for our profit, our benefit.
Well, there's too many common themes in Scripture. And really, I mean, not only is there too many common themes, but I think there was, this is going to be real sketchy.
No, too many common themes for just somebody to come up with it.
Yeah, and not only for somebody to come up with, but for somebody to come up with and connect to over hundreds of years, thousands of years even, to be able to take that and to weave these common threads through. Again, it's kind of sketchy, but there was an article I read, and this is a long time ago, where there was somebody who took a mathematical computer at Harvard University, and they began to plug in some stuff, particularly this, I think this pertains to the book of Genesis, begin to plug in some of the things that were happening in the first chapter of Genesis, the numerology that happens in there, the mention, things, different things. And the computer came back and said, this is impossible. Like, this is impossible that somebody could have sat down and come up with all of this. And you look at all the threads and the ways things are reminded, the remez, all the, it's almost impossible to wrap your mind around. And even the depth of what it is, that every time you read it, you go, wait a second, I think there's something new here. I mean, why is there something new? I mean, I've read, I've got a couple of books that are like my favorite books. And I read them once a year, once every 2 years. When I read those books, what I find is that I'm reminded as to why I love those books so much. I love the storytelling. I love the pictures that they elicit in my mind. But I never read those books and go, oh, that's totally new. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I might go, well, you know, I think I must have missed that when I read that last time or that. But the Bible is so unlike any other book where you read the Bible and you could read the same three words and they tell you something different. I don't have that experience with any other book. The other books, I'm kind of more nostalgia, like, oh, I loved reading this the first time. Oh, it's great reading it again. Oh, I so appreciate the writing style here. When I read the Bible, it's like, oh, wait a second, this is changing my life. Oh, my gosh, this is affecting me. Oh, my gosh, this is correcting me.
Or like you've said in the past, I think maybe on our first broadcast 5+ years ago, It's like an onion.
Six.
Is it over six?
This is like a bad marriage where you keep forgetting our anniversary.
That's like that 5-year watch that never appeared.
That never appeared.
The 4-year cupcake that never was presented.
Yeah. That thing got stale.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for our anniversary for a long time.
Yeah. But Scriptures are like that onion where you can just kind of keep peeling another truth, or there's a deeper meaning, or the last time I read it, I was going through this, but how much more it applies now, or I'm gleaning new truth, or it's living and active, that passage where God's word isn't stale or just, like you said, like a story where you read it once and I don't need to read it again. You glean new things often out of it.
Well, I think that some of that problem that we have where that's concerned is the fact that we come at it like a Westerner. We come at it, so when we read the Bible, we come as a student who's willing to sit in the classroom and listen. And so if you want to come in the classroom and you just want to sit and listen, the teacher will talk to you.
Now back to Bible study fellowship?
Well, no, kind of. I mean, if you sit in a, if you come and you're going to have to work my metaphor. I'm going to have to massage my metaphor here.
Yeah.
But if you come to the Bible as a student, and I don't mean a student like somebody who is desiring, but you come as a student, as we define a student in the Western world. You come, you sit in the classroom, you listen, so that means I read this passage, Paul, servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle set apart by the gospel of God. I come and I sit before that, I get that information, and then I walk away. And the Bible's not meant to be read like that. The Bible is an Eastern book, which in an Eastern text, you don't come and you sit in front of it like a student. get receiving knowledge. You come as part of a conversation. So the Eastern way of reading this would be Paul. Okay, who's Paul and why was Paul here? What was the meaning of Paul being in this place? What was God doing with him? A servant. Why was he a servant? Why did he submit in this place? What's the importance of him submitting in this place? Of Christ Jesus. Why is it of Christ Jesus and not in Christ Jesus? What is going on exactly here? Called to be an apostle. What does it mean to be an apostle? Why was he an apostle? What did he have to do to become an apostle? What's going on there? Set apart. Why was he set apart? To do what? What does set apart mean in this context for the gospel of God? What is the gospel of God? I mean, you got to come as part of a conversation. And I think too many of us come to the Bible as a student in Western sense where we sit down, the Bible tells us what it's telling us. We go, oh, that was good. Okay. And we walk away. Instead of coming and beginning a conversation, because that's what the Bible is. It's a conversation with between God with us. And God mediated it through these human authors. And that's the very Hebraic way of reading the scriptures. I mean, I'm reminded of the story where the rabbi was in the yeshiva and he stood up in front of his students and he said, I want everybody to take 10 minutes and I want you to write down all your questions on, you know, Genesis chapter 24. And so the students, you know, at the end of the 10 minutes, the students all got together and, you know, what were the questions? And there was one question here and one question there and one question there. And the rabbi became incensed and he said, that's all you have? And then he spent the remainder of the class listing all the questions that he has regarding Genesis chapter 24. And because what was so important was he came to the scriptures as a conversation. Now, I think there's a difference. So I think we have to clarify this. There's a difference between a conversation and a debate. And I think that some of the things that we do wrongly is we come to the scriptures as merely a student. I'm just going to listen to what God says and that's it. And if he asks me to raise my hand, I might. Or we come to the scriptures looking for a fight. We come to the scriptures looking to debate with God. Well, I just don't really believe Paul was a servant. I mean, servant, that seems so demeaning. Well, you know, maybe you ought to learn what it means to submit to God and to be a servant. Because actually, the word there is much worse than you think. When it says Paul, a servant of Christ, the word doulos there means slave. So Paul said, I could be a slave to a whole lot of things, so if I'm going to be a slave to something, it might as well be Christ. Mm-hmm. And those of you out there who go, yeah, but you don't know all the negative connotations that slavery has in the world. I do know what those are, but I'm going to tell you what. The worst thing that slavery does is what it's probably doing in some of your lives right now. And that is that you're enslaved to something, whether it's TV, whether it's pornography, whether it's car. I don't know what it is that those who are listening are into right now. In bondage of. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. I think that most and many of us are in bondage to good things. They're just not God things. And so Paul here says, Paul, understanding rightly, says, I'm going to be a slave to something. So if I'm going to be a slave to something, it better be Jesus Christ. Because then I'm going to be serving, pursuing, setting my affections and desires upon him and him alone. Because he knew how his heart was. He knew that his heart could be captivated and grabbed by something else. So I think wrongly we come to the scriptures as kind of a Western style student where we just want to like listen, maybe ask a question, maybe, but we really don't want anybody to call on us. Or we come to the scriptures looking for a fight, looking for a debate. We want to argue as to why the scriptures aren't right. And really what the scriptures are meant to be is a conversation that draws us closer to God. Like my reading of the Bible should want me to spend more time with God. And that's because I'm talking with him. I mean, the scriptures are talking. So when I just read that, that's how I read the Bible. When I read the Bible, and for some people who don't read the Bible that way, my wife doesn't read the Bible that way. She doesn't. And I don't mean that wrongly, but the first time we started studying together, I was making her nuts because I'm reading it and I'm going and I'm writing stuff down. She's like, what are you writing down? I'm like, all my questions. She goes, what questions? What do you mean? I'm like, well, this is how I read. And she's like, well, that's too much. I can't do that. What are you doing? I'm like, I'm talking with God. She's like, well, just talk to him. Don't do that. You know, I've been told that I can be a little, but it's for God. So I think that we have to come to the Bible and desiring to have a conversation.
Now, for somebody tuning in, like this is a foreign concept to them, or they find themselves, maybe it's a senior saint or somebody that's walked with the Lord for many years, but the Bible seemingly is dry or not speaking to them. What do you say, or how do you encourage them to say, hey, keep in it, persevere, ask God to reveal himself in maybe new ways. Because there are some people that say, I don't get it like you get it. Why you get so excited? And they're maybe seemingly trying, but they're not connecting. Is it just maybe a matter of time? Or maybe it's just where they're at in their walk right now and just keep at it, keep reading, keep entertaining the idea that God will speak to them.
Yeah. So imagine this. You're sitting in the chair. You're kind of lethargic. You're just kind of like, just sitting there, you know. And I come up and I throw at your feet a lit piece of paper. What are you going to do? You're going to jump out of your seat. You're going to go, whoa, what are you doing? In the Bible, the Holy Spirit is always associated with fire. That's one way that the Holy Spirit. And so I think the first thing you do, I think yes to everything you said. Don't give up. You need to keep persevering. But I think one of the most important things you need to do is you need to lean into the Holy Spirit. You need to begin praying. Holy Spirit, open up my eyes. Light my heart of fire. Make me, help me desire you and desire. Because we don't read the Bible alone. So when I said we're having a conversation, that conversation is us and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is here helping us to read this. The Holy Spirit is helping us to understand it. When I say you never read those verses the same, that's because the Holy Spirit is constantly going, wait, did you see that word? Wait, did you see that word? And so if we're feeling kind of dry, and I know seasons where I felt dry, I have to go back and just petition the Holy Spirit to help me to read with him, to desire to be with him, desire him to help me in that, to light me on fire. And so I love that. Somebody else had shared that picture with me. They said, you know, if you're just sitting in a chair and you're kind of just like, blah, and somebody throws something lit at your feet, you're going to jump out of your chair because where fire gets us moving. And he said, we need to get the Holy Spirit to get us moving.
And I know we're out of time, but I know another thing that you would definitely say is get with another believer.
Of course.
Whether it's your spouse or a best friend and havarim, where you talk about it, you investigate, what did you get out of it? There's some accountability, but there's some fun too because you're both reading at the same time and then you can't wait to see the person to see what they got out of it.
Yeah, so counterintuitive to the way the world works is we wouldn't generally go find people who are on fire because we don't want to catch fire.
Yeah.
But in this case, that's what you want to do. So I tell people, I say, look, if you're not excited about the scripture, you better go find somebody else who is excited about the scripture and start figuring out why they're excited about the scripture. You know what the good thing is if you find somebody who's excited about the scripture, you won't have to ask them too many questions. They'll just start telling you why they're excited about the scripture.
And bringing it round circle, Monday nights, Bible study fellowship.
For men, and then Tuesday morning at 9:10 a.m. for the women.
Yep. If you need more information, you can always call the station. Karen will track it down for you. 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.